How's everyone doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Knackered.
Exhausted. It was a little bit busy week.
Why? What was going on?
I was flyering, doing marketing stuff for my job, and writing for E3 at the same time. So technically, I did more than 24 hours worth of work in a 24-hour day.
That's very commendable. You should be proud.
I'm just kind of very sad about it. Very depressed at this point. It's all over. Now E3's over. It's like, what else do I have to live for?
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for Saturday, June 19th, 2010. Damn it, I said 2010, not 2010. He's rubbing off on me.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, this is your host, AJ Minotti. Mike is still in Florida. He was at Disneyland yesterday, Florida, California. He was at Disneyland yesterday. But in his stead for this week's show, I have once again my E3 cohort, Jeff Grubb.
Hello.
Also joining us from across the pond is our good friend, Pete Davison.
Hello.
And coming over from the Pixel Revolt podcast, all-around cool guy, Derek Levine.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, you broke it. I thought he was going to say hello, too.
Nah.
Yeah. See? So, yeah, what we're going to do today is more or less a standard show. I got some basic news stories to go through, some very small things that come out of E3. Then we're going to go into – I didn't really do a quiz either. I didn't know who to quiz. So there's no quiz. But then we will go into just a E3 roundtable discussion. We'll talk about some of our favorite things to come out of E3, some of our least favorite things to come out of E3, and just kind of freeform it and get through the show and have fun with that. And then we'll do our week in gaming, if anyone was actually playing anything. We were actually racking our heads trying to think of anything before the show. But we have a couple things to talk about there. We'll look at some releases, and that'll be it. So, AJ, why don't you do the news? Okay, AJ. So... on Thursday, On Live is now out in the wild.
Yay.
And if you sign up before July something, I forgot to write down, you get your first year of service for free.
Now, okay, is that for real? Like, you sign up, if you pay them, like, certain money now, you get the rest of the year for free?
Cause I just No. You have to give them – I mean, this is what I had to do. You do give them your credit card, and at the end of the year, it'll auto-renew if you don't cancel it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's also how you buy games through the service, just with a credit card on file.
Okay, well, I'm going now, to sign up for it then.
Yeah, you may as well try, because if anyone didn't pick up on this last week, when I was being very cagey about having played Prince of Persia, The Forgotten Sands.
And your brother kept giving you a hard time about it, yeah.
Yes, I actually got into the 1 week early private beta, which was very strictly NDA'd, and I did not want to say anything. So I actually have been using the service for just over a week now. And what was cool is part of the private beta for getting in, you got a free game, which is why I bought Prince of Persia on there.
That's cool.
And I guess I'll take this time now to give some impressions of the service. First of all, let me say, it works.
Wow.
Mm. Cool.
It totally works. The one caveat, and this, I hope I think they said they're going to try to overcome this, but for now, it requires a wired connection. You cannot be on Wi-Fi. Yeah. So that's going to suck for a lot of people.
Right, you had to break out your broadband cable, right? For your, what were you playing it on?
I was on my MacBook, which I have a broadband cable that comes over to what was my desktop before, so it's not like it wasn't a huge deal for me. But I could see that, like, I know, for example, Mike, his computer's in the basement at home, so, like, he can't play it on his computer. There's no way. He'd have to use my dad's computer up in his office, which is actually what I did when I was home last weekend. And both there and on my MacBook in my apartment, it ran perfectly.
Hmm.
It really did. I mean, I noticed when other people in the house and my parents started using the network, it was like, you know, if you're streaming a Netflix video and the stream gets interrupted and it just kind of downgrades the standard res, but as soon as the bandwidth is back, it goes back to HD.
Right.
Same thing. Gameplay was not interrupted at all.
That's good.
It would just on the fly adjust the video quality to your connection.
How fast is your connection then?
Jeff, we were doing a speed test on mine the other day, and
yeah,
I told you what it was. It was something like...
It was in 20, double digits. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like 20 down and 2 up or something like that.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, Comcast just did this really nice network upgrade, actually. But yeah, and then at home it's less than that. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know the cable provider in Youngstown, Ohio is not quite as fast as that.
It's probably like 8 or 9 in Youngstown.
Yeah, but I can't figure out how to get a 360 controller to work in my MacBook. So I was just playing the game mouse and keyboard on my Mac and with the controller on a PC. There's no input lag. I'm not conscious of the service when I'm playing the game. It honestly, like, after you just get going in it, you're just playing the game. You don't even think about it anymore.
That's good, because that was a big concern a while back, wasn't it? About input lag in particular.
Yeah, it's fine. It honestly is. I was really impressed, actually. And it also has a nice benefit. You'll notice, because this is a Ubisoft PC game with their bullshit DRM. Ugh. But since you have to be online anyway,
yeah,
it kind of doesn't matter anymore. So I was, like, fine with it. So this might be the way to go if you're going to play an Ubisoft game. You have to be online anyway. One thing I will say about, you know, they say, like, this is games on max settings. Kind of. Another game I played was the demo for Batman Arkham Asylum. And I remember playing that demo on my brother Chris's really souped-up PC with the physics turned on. And there was a lot of cool physics stuff, like just, you know, scraps of paper all over the environment blowing around, things like that, the way smoke worked in the game. There is no physics, at least in the online version of Batman Arkham Asylum. Yeah. I don't know if that's because I know they're using custom hardware. It's not like they have just a bank of, like, Alien Force machines that are running these games. It's like server hardware that's configured to run a game that probably doesn't have physics processing in it. So there's that end of it. I don't know if that's something they could ever introduce.
Well, there's NVIDIA. There's also the issue of pushing that kind of graphical fidelity over the line. I mean, I don't know.
Well, not really. I mean, all the processing happens there. Yeah, you're just getting the video. It doesn't matter what the video is.
Mm. It's probably still more video intensive, though, you would think.
Not really. I mean, it's just something else moving on the screen.
Mm.
I remember that was one of the things that those early beta testers said, was that things like Crysis and stuff, they obviously weren't running them on full settings because, for whatever reason, maybe the hardware wasn't up to it or whatever, but it seems quite strange if the whole thing of the service is, hey, you can play these whatever kind of computer you've got. It would be nice if it was able to run them on full settings, but...
First year's free.
Yeah, well...
That's it. I think that's the whole point. I think it's the whole reason the first year's free. They're, like, slowly going to get up to speed with being able to, you know, stream the higher and higher resolution games and the higher and higher settings, but it's going to take them that time, and they're going to convince the people that aren't paying, and then eventually it'll all work, and by then everyone will have already signed up, so...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also want to speak a little bit just to the service itself. It has, like, a kind of whole Xbox Live thing going. You have a profile, you can add friends and do everything like that. What's really cool is as I've talked about, and this totally works too, because of the streaming nature of the service, you can click on any game in the marketplace, and then at the bottom of that game's page are its various trailers. And you click the trailer and just start watching it. But then you can click on the Arena tab, and you'll see thumbnails of people actually playing the game.
Oh, cool.
You click on any of those thumbnails, and then you're just watching whatever they're playing, because you're just kind of leeching the video feed.
Do you have to? Can you opt into that so, like, you could say, "Oh, I want to share my feed," or is it automatically set on so everyone shares their feed?
I'm not sure if there's a way to turn it off. I imagine there is in the privacy settings. I didn't really look, but it will. Like when you're playing,
because I do some very filthy things when I'm playing. So,
No. It's just showing you what's on screen, Jeff. Not what's on the other side of the screen.
Yeah, but no, you can have a notification turned on to tell you when people are watching. Actually.
Oh, weird.
So it's actually kind of neat. You almost get this, like, self-conscious thing. Like, it'll say, like, so-and-so's observing. So now, like, I want to do, like, a really cool combat combo to test this person.
I would just immediately go and teabag anything and say it.
Yeah. Well, there is a – when you're observing, you have a cheer and jeer button. So you can accrue cheers and jeers your account. Yeah. And then the other neat thing is they have their brag clips. And if you're using a 360 controller, you just hold down the guide button and push B. And that, like, just saves the last 30 seconds of whatever you did into your profile.
That's cool.
And you could share that with your friends.
That's forward thinking. I'm glad they had this stuff built in from the start.
Yeah, honestly, it's impressive. I mean, the fact that I just booted this up on my Mac, got Prince of Persia, which is not even a Mac game, clicked play, and 5 seconds later, the game was running. High def, everything on, perfect.
That's
like,
cool.
I was floored. I was happy to be right in this instance that when I had my optimism for this working. The way I'd like to see this move forward, okay, this would be my dream situation. OnLive merges with Steam, and you have the option of either streaming the game or downloading and installing it.
Yeah.
That would be the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that something like that's probably going to be released from Steam.
Yeah, I imagine so, because there's a few sort of competing services coming out right now, aren't there? Because there's that one that David Perry's doing, the Gaikaio, or whatever it's called. They just signed a big deal with EA to do to stream all their games. I don't think it's quite the same tech as OnLive. It's more like the instant action thing where it will download in the background while you're playing. But
right,
yeah. So I think there's going to be quite a few competing services as people get used to it.
There's one other thing too. I did not like this. As I was browsing through games on my Mac, I went to play. I was like, a lot of the games, like for demos, it's just you just get to play it for 30 minutes and it shuts off, which is kind of cool. I went to go play the Mass Effect 2 demo on there just to see how it looked, and I was locked out of it because I was on a Mac. Even though there's nothing technical to stop it from running on my Mac, it was just, you know, EA said, no, this can't run on Macs. Like, I don't know why they would do that.
It's just, and like I think we talked about this before, after the last show, that it's just kind of crazy that the lawyers thought to put that in there before this game, before OnLive came out. Like, they're like, oh, and if there's some way to play it on Mac, it's not allowed. Even though there was no technical way to play it on a Mac before. So
that's weird.
It's just kind of crazy that they went that far, you know, when they were writing up the law. So, or the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to do that, is there? Because, I mean, you could you could play Mass Effect on a Mac through boot camp, couldn't you, presumably?
Right. Yeah, you should be able to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, there is no Mac client of the game. There's no other way to play it on a Mac. I just don't know why that limitation exists. I mean, obviously, it seems to me it's on EA's end, not on Live's end, because there's nothing technical to stop it. I just wonder why they made that decision. Yeah, oh, well.
Maybe they plan on moving it on Mac, and so they're like going to wait until people buy it Discworm, and then they'll make it possible. But yeah,
I guess
it just seems kind of silly.
Yeah, but yeah, if you want to sign up for it, try it. It totally works. The game store's got some good stuff up there. Like I said, a lot of EA, Ubisoft is on there. I know Lego Harry Potter's on there. Unreal 3, Crysis actually isn't on there yet, which is strange because I was always kind of the poster child for it.
Yeah,
A couple indie games are up there too. Like and World of Goo. So yeah, it works. It's cool. It's exciting.
Is it only in the U.S. at the moment, or is it worldwide yet?
I don't know. I always forget to check that for you.
Yeah, there's. I could have swore there was a news story about it launching in like a month in U.K.
Because they need to get it like, you know, entirely new data centers just for Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think
streaming across the ocean would work well.
No,
there might be
some lag. I don't see that. And given that our internet connections over here are pretty crap as well.
All right, so let's go to. I did have a few little interesting things I saw coming out of E3 that I thought I'd just mention in news here. One press conference we didn't really talk about much was the Konami presser. The big thing to come out of that was the revelation of a new Silent Hill game. Did you guys see the trailer for this?
I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't.
Oh, okay, great.
that went well.
The conceit of the game is it looks like there's a guy in a prison transport, like a bus, and he has these hallucinations of him escaping and running through the forest and being chased by this female cop, and then he eventually wanders into Silent Hill and crazy shit be happening, and then like he wakes up and he's still on the bus. He's like, what was that? It looks very Silent Hill-y.
That's good.
Down to the really bad animation in the CG trailer. Just, do you remember... Remember watching like that era of CG and just something simple like a car driving down the road? It didn't look like that car was like actually physically set on the road.
Mm-hmm.
This did that, and I saw that, and I was like, seriously?
Mm.
Just like in his running animation, just looked weird.
Yeah,
but whatever.
Did it look like stupid Silent Hill or Silent Hill 2 Silent Hill? If that makes sense.
I'm not a Silent Hill aficionado, so I'm not really one to say.
Basically, I don't know if you could tell anything from the trailer. I haven't watched it yet, but did it look like it was going to be a more sort of personal story, or was it going to be cultist bullshit?
It's hard to say, really. My inclination would be personal, because it's just this dude.
Yeah.
I don't know what his motivation is, or who he is, or why he was arrested, or anything.
That's good, because the best Silent Hills have always been the one that focus on an individual character and their story, rather than the whole big epic plot that doesn't really work.
Right. So yeah, then we have some more news about the Move for the Sony PlayStation 3. They have confirmed that if you don't want to use a navigation controller or don't have one, you can just hold a DualShock 3 in one hand.
Because my mom's going to want to do that for sure.
Uh-huh. I mean, I guess it's a good option to have. I just...
It's better they include it than not, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I found that... Because the thing is, I just looked at the navigation controller. You kind of still need to... I don't know. It wouldn't really work, depending on the game, I think. As long as you just need the analog stick, it might, but... If you need to push a button, you might have a problem. Whatever. From Move, we go to Kinect. So you might have noticed that more and more retailers are listing this $149 price point. Amazon recently just did it themselves. Microsoft has come out to say that they will not be talking about Kinect pricing at least until Gamescom in August.
Hmm.
So again, they're stressing all pricing now is purely speculative. And, you know, like I said before, what it is it took one retailer, in this case GameStop, to start taking pre-orders. So everyone else has to take pre-orders because they don't want to lose out on sales.
Mm-hmm.
They need a price. And it's better to highball it and then drop it later than lowball it and have to tell your customers, oh, we were wrong, you have to pay us another $50.
Yeah. I gotta love how Amazon and GameStop are willing to speculate that money right into their pockets.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they'll take it.
Yep. Gotta love that shit. There should be a law against that. God damn it. Like, if the manufacturer hasn't set, like, a retail price and you're just going to guess and be like, oh, we'll take this much for it. I mean, I know it's going to – everyone get their money back in the end if it's above that, but it just seems really shady and unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not like you have to pay the full price when you –
I was going to say, did they take your money up front or do they not just take –
They'll take, like, $5. Yeah. Although some people, I'm sure, will pay full up front. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wouldn't
you? We call those people idiots. if you were hoping to play the Medal of Honor beta on your 360 early, you can't, as you might have found out already. What they were doing is if you pre-order Medal of Honor and you were a VIP member of Battlefield Bad Company 2, you were supposed to get into the beta on Thursday. But there's some technical problem that's keeping it from working on the 360 until the formal launch on the 21st. They say they're going to compensate people by extending the beta. So, yeah, whatever. Doesn't help me, because I have considered pre-ordering Medal of Honor just so I could play the beta before I go on my trip. But now it's like I don't have time for it next week. I would have played it this weekend, and that would have been it.
I couldn't care less about that game if I tried. Have you seen that image? Image floating around the internet that's Killzone 3, Medal of Honor, and Modern Warfare 3, all screenshots side by side? I think Kalen posted it on the squad thread the other day. And they just all look identical, right down to the gun in the corner. It's the same gun. Hello?
Yeah, you broke up a little bit there.
You broke up at the end, but I did not see that.
Yes. Oh, I will have to share that with you then. But yeah, it was just a picture called State of the Industry, and there were three screenshots. Killzone 3, Medal of Honor, and Modern Warfare 2, all in the same sort of environment, all with an identical gun in the bottom right corner of the screen. And just the caption, State of the Industry.
Owned. All right, cool. Last thing I have, this is actually one non-E3 related issue, but I thought it was worth talking about. Apparently, our good old friend, Senator Joe Lieberman, is up to his old tricks again. He wants to pass a bill that would give the president the ability to, when he deems it necessary, basically shut off the internet for the sake of national security.
And that's not just American internet, that is the internet as a whole.
What?
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty funny, actually.
How's that make you feel, Pete?
I'll be honest, not great.
At the president's, you know, the pleasure, we could shut off the entire world's internet, at least according to Joe Lieberman. Whether or not that's possible, I don't know. I'm sure the military could figure out a way, but the fact that they think that they have the right to shut off the entire world's internet is kind of insane. Well, Joe.
And fairly impractical as well, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, let's just play theoreticals here. Imagine just the worldwide economic destruction that would result from anything longer than 30 seconds of worldwide internet downtime.
Yep.
Just contemplate that.
Like, the amount of money that's lost during, like, March Madness from people, like, not doing their work and stuff like that, that the entire internet went down. That is in the 100 billions of dollars.
I mean, wasn't it in Europe a few months ago where, like, Gmail was down for, like, an extended period of time? Was that in England or somewhere else in Europe, I think it was?
I don't remember that story.
I can't remember where it was, but I remember reading like reports like people did after it happened of like how much revenue was lost because businesses couldn't access their email. You can't do this. I'm sorry. There's just no way you can give a one person a button that turns off the internet. Although I will say this. In some weird, bizarre world where this actually happens, that had better be the coolest looking button in the history of buttons. I mean, when he lifts the little glass thing,
there's got to be a button to raise the button.
Should start playing ominous music.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell? This is why old senators need to die, because they don't know how this shit works. Oh, sick of it. I am sick of it.
They have to have a boys choir on hand right there to sing whenever the button does raise and stuff like that. Yeah.
Everything needs to move in slow motion. Uh-huh. Some doves come out of a cage next to the button and flutter off.
It's a 5-button process just to get the button to come out in the first place. Yeah, I'm all for it.
No. See, they're just going to make it the Konami code.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Okay, you know what?
Never mind. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm for it now.
I am so for this. Okay, that's going to do it for my kind of quick run through the news. Let's talk about E3, shall we?
Let's.
Hooray.
Sure.
So, first I would like to go around the virtual table here and ask each of you, what was your absolute favorite either news story, game announcement, gameplay trailer, whatever, to come out of E3? I will start first with Mr. Derek Levine.
Oh, of course you come to me first.
I guess you may go first on the Pixel Revolt.
Yeah.
That is true. I think two games. First of all, I'll give it to Nintendo on these announcements, but I think my favorite new announcement is probably Kirby.
Oh, man, it took mine.
Yeah, I figured one of you guys might have had that one too, but my only thing with that is that it almost seems like that may have been a game that they had in development and then decided to stick Kirby on at the end.
It's because with a lot of their games.
Someone on Twitter was saying how, like, yeah, Nintendo's thing was nice and all, but it's just all their old IP. Why can't we see anything new? And I'm like, well, is the new Kirby game any different if it was a new IP? It's a completely new game. It just has Kirby in it.
Yeah. Right, and Kid Icarus, same thing. Why wouldn't they just stick Kid Icarus into this new game that they made?
Yeah.
Well, I can answer that question. It was to just finally shut everyone up.
Right, that's exactly
what
they did, yeah.
But no, the Kirby game definitely looks great, and all the impressions that I've been reading and hearing from people on the internet sound like it's a lot of fun, and the mechanic works, and
gorgeous.
Yes, absolutely. It just looks absolutely fantastic, and it just seems like the type of game that would be a lot of fun to play, and pretty much anybody can play it.
All right, cool. Pete, what do you got?
I think the 3DS is the most obvious thing that most people are coming away from E3 are going for. But I wanted to mention a couple of the Move things as well. Having seen Sony's conference, I'm actually really excited about PlayStation Move. I think there's going to be some really good stuff. I was really pleased that they showed off some actual proper games for it rather than just sort of casual party games or anything like that. But seeing things like
Sorcery?
Sorcery looked great.
That does look good.
Yeah, and although it was only a tiny clip they showed, that Heroes on the Move looked really interesting as well. And plus it's a fanboy's dream for all those characters. So, I think PlayStation Move for me is going to be a bigger hit than people are giving it credit for. I think everyone I've spoken to who's had the chance to get their hands on it, even before E3, has had pretty positive things to say about it. Whereas Kinect's always been a bit sort of meh to everyone, and even more so after some of the issues that they'd seen at E3 and some of the things that have come out of the woodwork since then. But so I think 3DS and PlayStation Move for me, definitely.
All right, Jeff, what do you got?
For like surprise announcements, news that I really just am kind of impressed by is Sony's willingness to work with Steam and get Steamworks on PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
The implications of that are far-reaching, and they could have a completely positive effect, not just on Sony. Obviously, it's going to benefit them in a positive way, but it could push Microsoft to rethink their approval process for DLC. Mm. If all these Valve properties suddenly start getting auto-updates and start getting the benefit of Steam immediately, Microsoft's going to have to rethink what they're doing completely, and I'm all for that.
Well, as someone brought up an interesting point, I forget where this was too, you know, one of the big hang-ups with TF2 and Left 4 Dead on the 360 has always been that the updates aren't free, if at all, and they're not as frequent and everything like that. But it sounds like with the Steamworks on the PS3, they will be free.
Yes, they'll be free, and they'll happen pretty much in sync with the PC.
Now, here's the interesting thing. From what Microsoft has said in the past, as this was pointed out to me, their DLC pricing, rules or whatever, state that if content is free on another platform, you cannot charge for it on the Xbox.
Well, interesting.
Because Valve has never wanted to charge for this stuff. They said that they've always made it sound like Microsoft kind of forced their hand on that.
Yeah.
So this but is if another way for them to get their way around that. That's interesting.
Exactly. So, like, let's say they do end up bringing Left 4 Dead 2 to the 360 or to the PS3, then immediately all that DLC has to go free. It has to. If they patch Steamworks into the Orange Box in PS3 and bring all the TF2 updates, they have to come on the 360, according to the rules Microsoft themselves set. Now, obviously, Microsoft's free to change their own rules, I guess, but that would make them look like really huge assholes.
Right, especially if they're changing it to keep be able to charge people, absolutely.
Yeah.
Not just that, the Steam Cloud potentially working between the PC and the PS3. You could take one save to the other magically through the cloud. All that potential is there. And I can't imagine them not taking advantage of it. So I'm excited by the potential of that.
Yeah. I want to see Steam Play come to that as well.
Yeah,
buy it on the PS3, get it on your PC.
Yeah,
I know that will never happen, but boy, that'd be cool.
And cross-platform play, maybe? You never know.
I think there was cool some word that would be possible between the PS3 and the PC. They said that's potentially there.
So. Mm. Oh, God, that'd be huge.
Yeah, especially
just
for Portal 2.
Just put Steam on the PS3. Just do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, Portal 2 be awesome playing co-op. Oh, God, now I'm thinking about too much. The room just got brighter. I think a cloud moved. But anyway.
Take your hands out of your pants.
Fine. I guess I'll go with mine now. I would say, actually, since, I mean, obviously all the things you guys said were kind of on my list as well, so I'll go a little more underground for mine. I can't wait to play Child of Eden.
Oh yes.
My God. And specifically, I want to play it with a Kinect, because, I mean, I know it's not going to be just like that trailer. I don't have a 200-foot TV. But just the way that, like, the thought of using your hand to move through that world and just throw out these balls of energy like that is something I've wanted to do so long. And obviously, I mean, I love Rez. You take Rez, update it, put that kind of control into it. Yes, please. Oh, my God. It looks so good. I am psyched for that.
I watched that video after you pointed it out, and I did watch that octopus scene with the guy, like, washing it off several times.
I just rewatch it. I'm like, oh, my God, yes, yes. It's like this great combination of, like, Rez and Minority Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm for that. And it's like a metaphor for, like, the BP oil spill, like the fish, like,
yeah, I know, right? It's very timely.
You have to wash it off. Yeah, it is timely.
Okay, so, similar question. What was your least favorite thing? Derek, go.
Oh, I'm going to have to, again, go back and... I think I'm going to have to agree with something that you mentioned, AJ, that you read on Twitter about Nintendo. As many good games as they announced, as excited as everyone is, again, not a lot new. I mean, it almost seems like at this point that you can write a formula for Nintendo's press conference every single year. It's like they will announce four of these six franchises at this point. And it's just, yeah, I mean, they do continue to pump out good games, but I would like to see Nintendo try and bring a new franchise into, you know, into their top standing.
I mean, they tried that, though, with, like, Pikmin and a few other games, and people didn't take to it like they do. And there is nothing that Kid Icarus, or even, like, Kirby, like, those games have very little to do with those franchises other than the character. I mean, they did make their new game, and it's called Kid Icarus, and they just put Kid Icarus into it. It's like,
I was going to say, what makes it a Kid Icarus game? Yeah. How long has it been since the last Kid Icarus?
I mean, it has nothing to do with the first Kid Icarus.
I
mean,
oh, no, I completely agree, but I would have been happier to see if they had taken those games like Kid Icarus and Kirby and tried to develop a new franchise out of them instead of just stamping on one of their old mascots.
Well, here's what you have to realize, too, is, like, when Nintendo was making new IP like Pikmin during the GameCube era, they weren't in a position of strength that they are now to be creating new IP that's going to stick. They have created new IP in the Wii. It's just we don't think of it.
Yeah, the Wii Sports.
Sports is an IP to them.
Yeah.
The Wii Fit Wii Play is an IP.
Mm-hmm. Even like the Wii characters, the Miis.
Yeah, the Miis. And they've made new IP for the casual audience. Although they have not made like new IP for the core since they've kind of become relevant again, I guess I'd say. So yeah, I'd like to see them just introduce something completely new, but they're probably not going to. I don't think they. I mean, honestly, they don't need to. They, truth be told, at that press conference, they did what everyone's wanted them to do since the Wii came out. I mean, they said, fine, here you go. This is what you guys said you wanted. We're gonna play it safe and just do that. And here you go. And you know, you can't complain too much about it. But yeah, it would be nice to see them go completely balls out new on something.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that. You got a point there, Derek. That it would be nice to see something new. I just. The new IP is only so important to me. It's just seeing new ideas, even if they keep slapping on old IPs, I'm all right with that, for the most part.
Hmm. All right. Pete, what was your least favorite thing?
The sheer number of first-person shooters. So many of them. And I know it's no change from previous years, but really, that many? I mean, between EA and Ubi, there was a ton of them there, and yeah, I'm just sick of him.
Yeah, EA's press conference especially just felt like the first-person shooter conference. Oh, I need to issue an apology. I kept referring to the game Black as Gun last week because Gun Club mixed me up. Nah. I meant to say Black. Okay, there, I fixed that. Keep going.
I've kind of mixed feelings about... I wanted to bring up Bulletstorm in particular. I've kind of mixed feelings about that because in one sense it does look really, really fun, but on the same note, it looks like this is game for men. Men like fire. Men like kick things. Men like shoot. Bang. And I just think, there's a place for that kind of game. But I'd like to think that we were growing up a bit, and it just seems like a step backwards. But I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. But any game that includes the line "You scared the dick off me" is not high up my list of priorities.
All right, Jeff, what you got?
I guess I'm thinking about this too hard. I'm just going to go with Reggie's laugh in that video.
already like a million animated GIFs.
Yeah, the GIF thing that was like a GIF magnet immediately. Like his really awkward, terrible laugh. I was frightened by that. Like I'm just glad I'm not a child anymore because that would have been nightmare fuel straight up.
I'm trying to think of something I particularly disliked. I guess the closest thing I'd come... Did you guys see the teaser trailer for Monkey Island 2 Special Edition?
Yeah.
It's a bullshot trailer. Yeah. I don't like that. And it looks better than the game does, because it's like this like hand-drawn-looking 3D models. I'm like, well, shit, now I want the game to look like that. I mean, it still looks good, but it doesn't look as good as that trailer does now. Like, why'd you do that? I kind of said this too on the last show we did, but I'm over live demos. I don't see the point anymore. No person on a stage, which is the worst conditions to be playing a video game, is going to convince me that playing that video game is fun. Not in the way that a well-made, put-together trailer that demonstrates what's going on in the game will. Especially when, like after Miyamoto's disastrous live demo of... Zelda. And just, you know, you watch people playing these motion games, and quite frankly, you look stupid when you're playing a motion game. That's fine. I know when I was playing Wii Sports Resort in that sword-cutting mode that I looked like a freaking idiot. But I was by myself. I was fine with it. No one else had to see it.
Yeah, I do get kind of embarrassed for other people when I have to watch them make asses of themselves, so that is kind of...
Yeah, and like, I always felt bad for what was the girl doing the Video Kinect demo.
Oh,
Kinect
my God.
I felt bad for her, because she didn't want to do that. She's an engineer. She wants to build it. She doesn't want to go out on stage and have this horribly canned conversation with her sister. And it's just like, why? Like, you didn't need to do that. All you needed was to get some actors and make a video and show me the video chat working. I would have been fine with it.
Right, we would have understood what it meant. Like, yeah. Yeah, that was
bad. The other thing, too, speaking of actors, I did watch Kevin Butler's stage appearance at E3, which was amusing. But I feel like, I do like Kevin Butler, but I feel like he's starting to get dangerous.
It was pretty close to killing it. Like, yeah. If it had gone too much further, it would have been... For me, this is how I thought. It's like, it's pretty close to almost taking it too far, to the point where it's not, like, ironic anymore, and it's not, it's, like, too self-aware, and it's sort of...
I'm getting worried that people honestly are starting to think that Kevin Butler's a real person who works at Sony. He's an actor. Go on his Wikipedia page. His name's Jim something.
Yeah.
Like, he is not, I don't know this for sure, but my guess is this actor wasn't much of a gamer before he got this job.
Probably. Yeah, I don't really think he's the vice president of sharpening things.
Yeah. I mean, I like him for commercials and stuff. I'm getting worried that it's getting too big for its own good. I don't know. I could just be worried about nothing. I just watched that. Like, that was for people the highlight of the Sony press conference. I was like, it was nothing. It was some clever writing and a guy talking in very dulcet tones.
It was a good stand up routine for video game comedy, I thought. But
yeah,
that shouldn't be the highlight if we're serious about games. But yeah. I mean, either way.
Hey, Jack, can I just go back to a point you said a minute ago about trailers and stuff? What's everyone's take on cinematic trailers?
Cinematics? I feel...
We talked about this a little bit too.
Yeah, I'm always mixed about this, but I feel ultimately, as long as A, it's understood that it's a cinematic trailer, and it's just trying, especially if it's being used for story purposes or setting the tone for a game...
So Star Wars.
I'm fine with it. Star Wars, anything Blizzard does... Things like that, I'm fine.
I mean,
like the Bullshot trailer for Killzone 2?
Yeah.
Not fine.
I mean, the Old Republic trailer, I mean, it was cool and everything, but I kind of wanted to see some gameplay. And we didn't see any, really. I mean, people got the chance to get hands-on with it on the show floor, obviously, but I kind of wanted to see it being played as a trailer, and we didn't get that. Which is
a lot of people are really excited about that game now after playing it, but like I have my opinion, I have no opinion on the game so far because I didn't get a chance to see anyone playing anything.
Like I said, I said this on Tuesday as well, but like I mean, they have put out, they've actually put out a lot of video of that game on their website. Like they do a lot of frequent video updates. I just don't think people are really aware of them.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why a trailer would have benefit them.
Yeah.
But at this point, I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on what it looks like, what it's more or less going to visually play like. I just like seeing this kind of fleshing out of the world. Like, because, you know, no one ever thought of, like, a big land battle on Alderaan between some troopers and Jedi versus a bunch of Sith. Also, if you're just a dude with a gun, bad idea to just run headlong into a Sith warrior. That's just my thought. I don't know.
Yeah. Especially without your helmet.
Yeah, seriously. Jeez, we knew who you were. But yeah, let's see. I had another question. Oh, yes. My next question to all of you. What was the most bizarre thing you saw at E3? Doesn't necessarily have to be good or bad, just weird. So I'll just keep the order alive. Derek, what do you got?
As much as I enjoyed it, I almost want to say Kevin Butler being live on stage. But no, I think it's just...
That was bizarre.
Yeah, it was pretty bizarre. I think watching videos of people playing the Kinect demos... is probably easily the most bizarre thing. Like the games look great and all, but watching people jumping around and seeing tours of the booths, and they had all the Kinect demos in like these little fish bowls, so everyone could watch you playing. And it's just that just seems like the most awkward thing in the world.
Yeah, there were a lot of videos of people just randomly recording random people, so that was awkward.
Pete, what you got?
I can't remember what side it was on, but there was a photograph of some people playing Dance Central on Kinect, and in the audience on the left-hand side, there is Shigeru Miyamoto and his translator just looking at them going, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I just think that was the most hilarious photo I've seen from the whole conference. So, yeah, I think that's definitely mine.
All right. When Miyamoto questions your gaming, I think... maybe when the Nintendogs and then it had plus cats, I just don't get how cats are going to work in that game. I guess if you just have a cat that's sort of walking around ignoring you while you're playing with a dog. Like, I'm a cat person, but I just don't see how a cat could translate well into a video game. So, it seems kind of bizarre to me.
I'm going to go with, although laser tag seemed like the easy target, more so, is Ubisoft's Wii Vitality Sensor knockoff.
Yeah.
Because after the great positive buzz that the Vitality Sensor got last year, I'm sure they're sitting around going, we have to capitalize on all of this. So let's beat Nintendo to the punch and make a breathing game. And then Nintendo didn't even bring out the Vitality Sensor at all. Those words were not mentioned in any official capacity all week. So yeah, I don't know what they were thinking there. Like, that's just weird.
They were thinking, wee-wee. And then they drank some red wine and, yeah.
Gave a cigarette to a baby.
Yeah, exactly.
So, last question I have, and then we'll just kind of open up to some final thoughts. What is, now granted, none of us have been there, we've all just kind of watched it from the outside, but I will ask you, what is your game of the show, Derek?
Oh, God, you got to lump that on me. to be completely honest, since I was working all week, I've been scrambling the past, like, last night and today to really kind of get up to date on what's been going on, because I still don't know all the games that were announced. But I'm going to go ahead and pick one out that I'm really excited to see when it eventually does come out, and that's the new Mortal Kombat game. The fact that they're going back to just the old school brutal violence 2D. I'm not a fighting game person, but I loved Mortal Kombat 2. It was one of my favorite games ever, and I just think that can be a lot of fun. Just to imagine, like, playing a game like that online and giving somebody a fatality, the kind of language that may come across on your headset.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Yeah, I'm really actually excited for that game as well. it's totally in the vein of, well, Street Fighter did it, we can do it too, and that's okay. Pete, what's yours?
Oh, there's a clear choice for me that no one else is going to choose. And it's Mania Planet. I'm a massive fan of Trackmania, and just to hear that they're doing a proper Trackmania 2 plus a first-person shooter Mania plus RPG Mania, and they'll all interact with each other.
Really?
Yeah.
This kind of went under the radar in a lot of ways. I kind of figured you'd bring this up at some point.
Yeah,
so.
I am very, very excited about the possibility of that, because Trackmania is brilliant. I didn't realize quite how many people were playing it as well. They reckon there's 10 million people playing it across the world.
I got it on my PC and my DS.
It's very, very big in Europe in particular. But yeah, they say it's one of the most successful driving games on the PC. So they're they're doing this sequel, Trackmania 2, which is actually the fourth game in the series, of course. And then they're doing Shootmania as well, which is a first-person shooter, which presumably you'll be able to create levels and stuff for. And then they're doing Questmania, which is an RPG, which presumably you'll be able to create environments for as well. And they say it's going to be one unified interface for the whole thing, so it'll be one community that the three games will share. It'll have the same map editor for all three of them. And Trackmania's map editor is really easy to use, but you can get some really clever, complicated stuff out of it as well. So yeah, I think that's going to be pretty big, particularly with Little Big Planet 2 in mind.
Yeah. I just want to be able to play, like, I think it'd be great if the game's mixed, so, like, you could be, like, in a first-person deathmatch on a racetrack
that
while people
would
are
be
racing
amazing.
So you have to avoid cars.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
All right, Jeff, yours?
I'm going to choose this game, even though I don't think I'll have a PC to play it for a long time. Rage. Rage looks amazing. It looks like, I mean, it's doing post-apocalyptic again, but I think the art looks great.
Which is weird to say about an id game.
Right, and that's the thing. It's like they've always had like the really amazing engines that can do really great graphics, and then their games have just been kind of hard to take because it's always the same enemies and stuff like that. And this looks really varied, and it looks really just well done. I'm super excited to try it. So since I'm not going to be able to play that for like 6 years, I probably would just go with Donkey Kong Country or something like that, the new one that looks really great too, and I love retro, so I'm excited to see what they're doing with that. I love a hard 2D platformer as well. But yeah, Rage just looks incredible.
I my runner-up, I guess, would be the new Kirby, because that just looks awesome.
Yeah, that looks amazing.
But I have to be somewhat predictable and then say Epic Mickey.
Yeah, of course.
That's fine.
Of course.
Well, just today they did have more of like a trailer that's like intercut back and forth between gameplay, cinematics, and Warren Spector talking about it. And getting to see some of the cinematic scenes in the game with Mickey like doing all this cool shit. Oh, God, yes. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for that game. And honestly, in a weird way, I want it to do really well so that they do make a sequel and that can come out for like the 360 mm-hmm. and PS3 with their motion controllers and look better. Because I think it does look good, but I'd like to see it with a little more fidelity. Mm. Like, people were saying, like, a lot of the textures are still kind of low res and chunky and things like that. And I was like, I kind of, like, mentally prepared myself for that. So I'll be all right there. But, yeah, that game's going to be so great. I can't wait. So, yeah, I will just go around the table one more time and just ask for your final thoughts on what you thought of E3 this year. So, Derek, what'd you think?
I think one of the biggest things to me is that how well the whole motion controller thing actually came across, because everybody's been kind of very skeptical of it, especially of, you know, Kinect and PlayStation Move, but it seems like after this event, everyone kind of generally has a very positive opinion of it, and I'm really kind of interested now. I wasn't before interested at all in either of them, in Kinect or in PlayStation Move, but now I'm actually kind of interested in it, and so I think they did a good job in showing what those two systems can might be able to do in the future.
Seconded. All
right. Yeah.
I think a lot of people got that sense.
Yeah, definitely.
There was a lot of gloom and doom about it going in, and I think everyone's just kind of come to accept it finally. Pete, how about you?
Yeah, exactly the same. I mean, we were talking about it amongst the squad about people not being particularly excited for this E3 because they were expecting it to just be motion control crap and so on. But, and I mean, I think Kinect ended up being what most people expected, with a couple of surprises like Child of Eden and so on. Move, I think, would have been a huge surprise for a lot of people in quite how much good stuff they showed off for that. The 3DS as well, the reaction to that, I think that everyone was sort of cautiously concerned about that, I think, in the it sounded like it was gimmicky, but since all the people who were there had a chance to try it and said it was really, really good and amazing and so on, mm-hmm. I think people are going to come away from this E3 feeling a lot more positive than they went into it feeling. So mm-hmm. definitely.
I resisted the impulse to just kind of give a lot of secondhand stories from Mike's experience at E3. He'll be on next week and we'll let him just go. But the one thing that I do want to say is he called me while he was in line for the 3DS, and we were just chatting. And I said, you know, I know you'll be busy, but once you're done playing 3DS, just send me a text or something. Let me know what you think. I just want to hear it from you. About a half hour later, I got a text message that just said, pre-order a 3DS now.
Excellent. Wow.
So, yes, I'm very excited for that. Jeff, how about you?
It's kind of easy to tell that the accountants are still in charge. They see something making money. They see Modern Warfare making money. They see motion controls making money. And they're like, okay, we have to make that. And then yet, somehow, like, the creative people are still dealing with those accountants, dealing with what they tell them to do, and finding creative ways to keep entertaining us. Especially Child of Eden, again, is, like, a very good example of that. You know, they wanted to, like, go make a motion control game like that, and like, all right, well, we'll do res and we'll make it really, really amazing looking to get everyone really excited. And I'm just consistently excited by the fact that we do have people in this industry smart enough to battle what the accountants want them to keep doing. And that's a positive sign to me. That is what kept me positive about this E3 when I did think it was going to be kind of disappointing.
Yeah, I should say, like, I think on the whole, it was a somewhat predictable E3. Like, there weren't a ton of surprises and megaton announcements or anything like that. But I just feel like, on the whole, everything that came out of it was all really good stuff. Like, I feel like the industry is finally getting to that point where people have figured out how to make these games, and now they could just make them. I think that's kind of a benefit of having this longer hardware cycle. And if that's the case, I'm all for it. But yeah, it's just really great to see, like, Nintendo be able to just come out and say, like their press conference was basically game after game after game after game after game. Just seeing all these live demos, or not live, just floor demos that people are reporting on, saying, yeah, I played this game, it was really great, they didn't have a lot of technical hiccups, and it'll be out next year, they just need to polish it. Like, that's fantastic to me. And, like I said, I just came out of this E3 just feeling good about where everything's going. I don't feel like anything's a huge misstep. You know, Ubisoft's breathing sensor isn't going to really impact me in any meaningful way, so let them try it if they want. And yeah, I think it's just all good things.
Laser tag.
Yeah.
You never know. That could. I think we'll all. It's possible we all might be eating some crow on that someday, so I'd be careful not to say anything too bad.
If someone had it, I would totally go play.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think everyone's afraid to admit that they secretly really want that. I mean, God, I had a little laser tag set as a kid. We played that thing in my basement for hours.
But does it come with a team of 12-year-olds that we can beat when we get, like, drunk and, like...
No, see, that's what it's missing.
Yeah, if it just came with that peripheral, I'd be all for it.
I'll tell you what. Okay, you know what, Ubisoft, I'm giving you this one for free. When it comes time to market the shit out of that game... You need to form a deal with CBS and
Barney
How I Met
Stinson.
Your Mother and get Barney Stinson playing your laser tag around the streets of New York with a bunch of kids.
Yes, absolutely.
It will sell like hotcakes.
Yep, that would that's perfect, absolutely.
All right. Well, that is E3 2010, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you all enjoyed the show, which it sounds like it's back in full force, too. I'm glad to see that the Santa Monica experiment is over.
Mm-hmm. And that this was a success. I mean, it sounds like people spent a lot of money on it, but it sounds like it's paying off.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, with E3 out of the way, we'll now bring it back home, and I will ask you guys about your weekend gaming. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first because I haven't really been playing much, and I don't know. You might be able to hear her in the background. Steph is playing Super Mario Galaxy 2, and she keeps dying and yelling a little bit, so... Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what she said.
She said I'm not supposed to tell people that she's dying. So I'm in trouble now. Now we're broken up, apparently.
Oh, shit. Sorry, man.
Yeah. I played this a little bit. I haven't had much other chance to play it, but just because I've been so busy this week. But I can't wait to get back and finally get the rest of the stars. But, yeah, so she's playing right now, and that's all I've been doing is watching her play. And she's awesome, she says, so...
Okay. This is great. I just want to listen to this for 20 minutes. You got anything else you played?
Not really. I've had my DS in my pocket all week, and I haven't touched it just because I haven't had any time. So, although I'm a little bit into Spirit Tracks. I played maybe the first hour of that. So I think I'm really going to get into that. I liked the last DS Zelda game. She's motioning at me now because she got a star and she wants me to tell everyone on the podcast. So,
good job, Steph.
Well done, Steph.
Good job. Good job. Now she's saying you guys are being condescending. Okay.
No, we're not. We're excited.
They're legitimately excited. I'll make her listen to this later. Okay. So Mario and Zelda. I'm a Nintendo guy right now.
Cool. Pete,
all right.
Play anything?
Yeah, okay. I mean, like Jeff, I've not had a lot of time today because I've been running a lot of coverage for E3, which has monopolized a lot of my time. So I've been playing some more Blur, which is awesome, and more people need to play it with me online. I discovered the Motor Mash mode basically the Mario Kart Battle mode, which is a lot of fun online, especially with 20 people. It gets very ridiculous. And it's a mode I can win at, which is good because I can't win races.
there you go.
But I can win Motor Mash mode. There's a great level. I mean, there's not that many arenas for it, unfortunately. But there's a really good level that's on top of a skyscraper. There's a very close quarters level. There's all the other ones are very open plan, large arenas, and this one is very close quarters. It's like a two level skyscraper thing. You can go up on the roof or down onto this slightly lower level, and 20 people packed into there gets quite intense quite quickly. There's a figure of eight level as well that's quite interesting because it's more like a racetrack with power-ups around it where you just smash the shit out of each other. And then there's two fairly standard sort of dirt bowl arenas. But it's a lot of fun. And I'm up to level 40 in multiplayer now, which is nice. Nice. What else have I been playing? I've been playing some Phoenix Wright on iPhone as well. It's a really good port, actually. It's a fairly literal port of the DS version with a couple of slight changes to fit the iPhone screen and so on. But it's a really good port. And Carcassonne on the iPhone I wanted to mention as well. It's a really good version of the board game. And it's got asynchronous play. And the push notification has an incredibly British man telling you it's your turn. And if you got your volume turned up really loud, it makes you jump. It's like, it's your turn now. But yeah, that's literally all I've been playing all week.
Okay, I didn't know they had multiplayer. I might have to get that.
Yeah, yeah, it's asynchronous as well, so it's like Words with Friends.
Yeah, that's cool. That's going to be like the future of like portable multiplayer.
Definitely.
Games, asynchronous stuff.
Yeah.
Derek, how's the unpacking game going?
Oh, yeah, I'm still playing that game, playing the unpacking and decorating game, trying to get my new place halfway decent looking. I guess I've pretty much been playing a little bit of a bunch of different things. Last weekend, I finally started playing Lost Odyssey on the 360. It's been sitting on my shelf for a good maybe 3-4 months, and I haven't touched it. And I needed a new RPG to play, so I decided to throw it in. Played about an hour and a half of that. I'll probably go back to that this weekend sometime. And besides that, it's mainly been iPhone games. Like I was mentioning to you guys before we started, I've been trying to make my way up the leaderboards and Cannibalt on the iPhone. And pretty much like the best thing I've been able to do so far is I have the 8th best run this month. I'd really like to get in the top 100 scores of all time, but it's pretty difficult because No, at that point, the games get you're playing one game of Cannibalt for like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it just
my eyes would bleed.
Yeah, it just gets tiring. Well, luckily you can pause it, but
yeah, that's true.
It just gets tiring. And besides that, you guys just before the show convinced me to now download Space Invaders and Infinity Gene because
that's a cool game.
Because it's been too long, and then a little bit of Tilt to Live, which we just convinced Pete to download.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Tilt to Live, if you're getting this podcast immediately today, I believe it's still going to be free for the rest of the day. And it's basically, it's Geometry Wars without buttons. It's quite clever, actually.
Yeah.
With a really awesome big band soundtrack.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that game a lot. I just got it last night on my iPad, and I was playing it, and I was surprised by it. I guess that transitions to me quite nicely, doesn't it?
It does.
Going. let's see. I did play in split second. I did my first of the, now I forget what they're called. It's the race mode where there's like a helicopter in front of you shooting missiles.
Yes. Oh, the airstrike?
Yeah, that's the one. Initially, I did not like it. And I think it's because the track I was playing on, it had way too many narrow choke points where it was virtually impossible for you to avoid these missiles. But then I played it on a different track, and I immediately started liking it more because I had room to maneuver. So that I guess it's just a mode that you really just need the right track to be on for it to work.
Can I just have a mini split second rant for a minute? I just want to say how much I love the soundtrack in that game because
right?
Because it is perfect and it's dynamic as well, so it adapts depending on how well you're doing, and it's particularly good in the elite races, the end of each episode, because it's. It just plays the theme tune of the game, and that just makes it that much more exciting for some reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the soundtrack in that is so good.
Yeah, and I realized that after we were in Disney World last couple weeks ago, they have their this show there called Lights Motors Action. It's like a stunt car show. It's really cool, actually. And it's the music from that stunt show, it seems like that might have been the inspiration for the music in this game, because it's all very similar. That kind of like techno backing to like orchestral intense stuff, like you're right, it's awesome. That's like my favorite thing about the game. It's such a aesthetically pleasing game. It just looks so good.
Yeah.
It still blows my mind how that game maintains its frame rate through everything going on. It's crazy. So there's that. I played some more God of War 3 finally, put a good chunk into that one night when I found myself some free time and my Xbox hard drive was in Ohio still. But yeah, I mean, it's God of War. It's incredibly solid and really good. Oh, God, I know there's something else I played I wanted to talk about, too. It was... What were we talking about before the show? Didn't I bring up something else? Did I? Am I making this up?
Not sure.
Oh, no, Transformers. That's
nice.
The one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I went to go see Toy Story 3 last night, and my buddies and I were going to go to an 8:30 show, and we all met at the theater, and it sold out. But I'd already bought my ticket on Fandango. So we had to switch the ticket to the next show, which was 11:15, so we now had 3 hours to kill, so we went to Best Buy. And they had Transformers War and Cybertron just loaded up, so I just sat there and played through an entire campaign mission.
Awesome.
It's actually, though, I will say, the game is quite good. I was kind of surprised.
That's all I keep hearing about this game, is that people are like, wow, this is fun.
Yeah, the conceit of the game is it's like a prequel to all Transformers lore, where it's the war on Cybertron, as the title suggests. And there's two campaigns, the Autobot campaign and the Decepticon one. And the game was already on the Decepticon campaign, so I was playing as Megatron. I had Barricade and Brawl with me, and we were just going through this old facility, you know, blowing up Autobots and being cool. And, you know, there's just something endlessly awesome about jumping into the air, firing your missile before you land, transforming into a hover tank, flying down a corridor, shooting turrets, then jumping as a tank, transforming again in midair, and then hitting another Autobot with, like, your weird energy hammer.
Excellent.
When you pull that off, you're like, this is rad.
That was poetry to my nerd ears.
I know, right? And the thing is, it's not hard to do that, too. Like, the controls in the game are really nice. Yeah.
You
like,
have me an energy hammer.
I know. It just it plays really well. And, you know, like, it's great. It's got all the cheesy Transformers-style voice acting in there that totally works. Like, you know, Megatron's trying to get his hands on Dark Energon, and Starscream's telling him he's a fool for fiddling with it, and he's like, no, they were weak, but I will not make the same mistakes. And I'm like, yeah, this is awesome.
I'm a little upset that they didn't get Frank Welker to play Megatron.
I know. But I guess really a big focus of this game is going to be the multiplayer modes, too, which, you know, I didn't try, obviously, but I could see how they would work. Being able to just transform into the vehicles and everything would actually make a really fun multiplayer mode. So yeah, this game suddenly came on my radar. I don't have time to get it right away, but this will probably be like an end of summer game for me. I could see it happening. So yeah, check that out. All right, I think that's going to do it for playing games.
Real quick, I want to ask you guys a question. Do you guys think that the 3DS, now that it has the 3D thing on the top screen, will they no longer be able to do like the book style side by side screens? And they definitely won't be able to do that in 3D.
No, probably not with that. Not the 3D games, anyway.
It's kind of disappointing to me. I'm kind of sad about that.
I mean, also the fact that the screens are different sizes now.
Yeah, I mean, I could live with that, but like, I just don't think they're going to make any games that support the book style if it's not 3D, because they're going to be focusing on 3D more than anything else. So, I mean, that does it for Brain Age and things like that, and like, you know, Hotel Dusk. I would have liked to have seen a sequel to that with it where it was side by side again, but now they're probably going to have to do that top down or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, that was just a quick aside.
Never thought of that.
No, it's not so bad. I mean, Phoenix Wright is a similar kind of game to Hotel Dusk, I guess, and it's...
It's kind of sad. I always liked holding ideas like that. It was always more comfortable.
Okay. Can I give you some breaking news quickly?
Ooh, breaking news.
It's minorly exciting. On Steam at the minute, it's EA week, and it's Mass Effect Day. So it's 75% off Mass Effect and 40% off Mass Effect 2. So if you don't have those games, get them now.
Yeah, that's a good call. Ooh, fun.
That is a good deal.
Someday I'm going to finish Mass Effect 2. I've been wanting to beat that game since it came out. I cannot find time, because I know... Like I've only ever had like a half hour to an hour to sit down to maybe play a game with interruption, and I just if I'm gonna play Mass Effect 2, I want like 4 hours to just sit there and have no one bother me, and I've literally not had that time in 3 months. It'd be great to be able to do that. Once I get back to this documentary and I find myself completely unemployed again, I'll play Mass Effect 2. It'll be great. All right. Downloads. No, we have Nintendo up first. DSiWare, a Kappa's Trail. Kappa with a K. I don't know what a Kappa... It's a mythical river spirit. Oh, it's those weird-looking fish. You ever see those things?
Just like, do I see them like lying about the place? No.
It's a weird-looking fish. Google it, you'll see. Okay, so there's a game with fish. Telegraph Crosswords. Flips, Silent But Deadly.
Fart.
What that is, Pete? You should love that game, right?
Yes, because I'm British and we love nothing but farting all day.
Yeah, that Peter Molyneux said as much at the Microsoft press conference. Oh yeah, he was up there. And great British humor, which just means farts.
That was an excellent English accent you did there.
Thank you.
Great British humor.
Let's see, music on electric keyboard. 16 shot shooting watch. Shooting watch is in all caps, so I had to shout it. WiiWare. Oh, this is interesting. Bejeweled 2 comes to WiiWare.
Oh, finally.
Does it have Bejeweled Blitz mode? If it did, I might actually buy it.
Does it have leaderboards? Doesn't look like it. Like that? Yeah.
Yeah, they don't really say. Huh, that's too bad. Missed opportunity. Arcade Sports. And Yard Sale Hidden Treasures Sunnyville, which I believe is on Steam.
Awesome.
Yeah. Virtual Console is Shadow of the Ninja for the NES. I don't know what that is. There are, as far as I could tell, unless I totally missed it somewhere, I don't think there were any Xbox Live Arcade games this week.
There's one, I think, but I can't remember what it's called.
I went on Major Nelson's site and hit the arcade tag, and I didn't see anything.
Hmm. There was something on Inside Xbox this week, but I can't remember what it was. It didn't look very good, whatever it was.
Okay, then.
Summer of Arcade's going to be pretty awesome, so...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that is.
One bad week.
Yeah, that's a quick aside. They didn't have that at the press conference. It came out, like, 4 hours later. They're like, oh, here's the Summer of Arcade list.
Yeah, and it was because they were not focusing on the hardcore, but the hardcore would have loved that Summer of Arcade list. They would have showed those games just, like, in a trailer with each of them's, like, best points and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what most of them are, but they look good.
Yeah, I guess we should probably say what that lineup is as I pull it up here.
Yeah.
There's Monkey Island 2, isn't there?
It starts with Castlevania Harmony of Despair, which is like Castlevania meets Little Big Planet. Hydro Thunder Hurricane. I played this at PAX, and this game's going to be awesome.
Hydro Thunder's awesome.
Yeah. Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light, which people have a lot of nice things to say about, so that might actually end up being
cool. Ryan from Combo said it was the best game at E3.
Oh, wow.
So did Justin McElroy, apparently.
Wow.
Oh, cool. There's Limbo, which is the really, really awesome-looking indie game.
With the silhouette. The
silhouette art style, yeah. And then Monday Night Combat, which I did not play, but I saw at PAX, and also looked pretty good.
That looks great, actually.
All five of them are $15.
Ooh.
They all seem like $15 games, though.
Yeah.
I think maybe Limbo could be a $10 game.
Yeah. I would imagine, though, I don't know this for sure, but I bet they'll do something like they did last year. If you buy all of them, then you get, like, 1,200 free Microsoft points anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They should. But real quick, Castlevania, the XBLA one looks good. What do you guys think of the 3D God of War-type Castlevania?
Mike played it.
What do you think?
I'll let him talk about it next week, but he seemed to like it.
I think God of War with vampires is a really cool idea, and it looks interesting, but it is kind of odd as a Castlevania game, I think. But
it's not, it's not really a Castlevania game.
I played the one on PS2. I can't remember what it's called, because as you know, every Castlevania game in Europe is called Castlevania with no subtitle, just to confuse matters.
Really?
But yeah, seriously. Yeah, I played the one on PS2, which a lot of people hated, but I actually really enjoyed it. Although it was very different from traditional Castlevanias. It was more like Devil May Cry, if anything. But it was
that was Castlevania: Lament of Innocence.
Yeah.
I actually played that one too, and you know what? It had a lot of, you know, the textures and stuff, and technically a little janky, but it wasn't a bad game.
No, it wasn't.
Was that the only like 3D one that was on PS2?
There were two, I think. There were two on Xbox, definitely. Or there was one on PS2 and one on Xbox. I only played Lament of Innocence. It wasn't a bad game, but everyone bitches about it for some reason because it's not a Metroidvania game. But I'm all for that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, people are like, "Well, Castlevania, it didn't get this way by riding on other like games' coattails." I'm like, actually, that's exactly what it did with Super Metroid.
Yeah.
So if they're gonna update it again, why not, you know, ride on God of War's coattails and make a really awesome vampire killing game? Like, I'd be all for that. That's, especially if we're gonna keep getting these 2D ones, which they make enough money on, I can't imagine they're gonna stop. So. Yeah, I'm all for it, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, PlayStation Network. Catan is out for the PS3.
Good.
Pretty cool. I love that game.
Yep.
Yeah, same here.
I have no idea how to pronounce this. Gundedlinja.
That's good enough.
Okay, it is one word. Gundeadli, capital Gne.
Wow. Yeah, I know what you said.
Yeah, it's a bullet hell, I think. Then Gundamonium Recollection.
Gundamonium.
A lot of guns. And Hitogata Hapa. What the fuck?
It's a hamster raising game. Hamster raising / date sim game.
So. Yeah, are these all related to each other, I think, actually? I think they are. The Gundamonium Collection is referred to in one of them. I don't know. Hmm. Okay, if you want, if you need some bullet hell shmups, there you go.
Oh, and Jesus, I've just looked everyone at some screenshots with Gun Deadline. Yeah, that really is bullet hell.
Yeah. And now everyone can relax now, take a deep breath, and go spend $10 because Final Fantasy IX is out on the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, we've had it for months.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Quick aside, I see the MLB 10 The Show 3D demo is listed.
Do you guys know one? You guys know how PlayStation or Sony's 3D glasses work? They're the active LCD glasses with little LCD like screens over each eye that flash 120 times a second per each
eye. Yeah, it's a shutter glass.
Yeah, they cost glasses. Well over like $150 per glasses. It's insane.
It also sounds like a one-way ticket to a migraine as well.
Yes, it does. If you like look at you anything, know,
wait. British people say migraine, migraine.
I do. Scone. Whatever.
I knew those. I knew like aluminium, and I didn't know migraine. Oh, that's a new one. I knew beta. Oh, yeah, and Jeff, I've been meaning to ask you this all week. Jeff, say Sony.
Sony. Yeah. Say it.
I always notice that one.
Sometimes it comes out Sony.
My parents say Sony, and I don't know why. My parents also emphasize the wrong word in Star Wars as well. They say Star Wars. Star Wars.
Oh, that's weird.
It really annoys me for some reason.
I always catch myself saying like, yeah, this is Sony weird. I say, you know, I just say it real quick and it comes out Sony. So yeah, I can hear it, but I'm like, yeah, who cares? So I just
this
move
is
on.
The longest it's ever taken us to get through this segment of the show. As far as I see here, there were no PSP games, just a demo for Worms. Good Old Games has Journey to the Center of the Earth and Fantasy Wars. Boy, that's an original title. Is it? It's pretty new, actually. It came out in 07. What is this game? Why have I not heard it? It looks like it's old. Okay, and then for real, let's go to GameStop, which I should have opened before I got to this part of the show to talk about it. Here's a list of games. Toy Story 3, 360, PS3, PC,
good things about
PSP,
that.
DS, and Wii. Yeah, people are telling me I, in particular, probably enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'll have to, at some point, check it out. Matt, I can't imagine why they think that.
Matt Mason, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Storm Over the Pacific on the PC. Naval Assault The Killing Tide for the 360. Making History 2, The War of the World for PC. The Book of Unwritten Tales for the PC. Legend of K for the DS. Is this a port? I feel like I've seen this somewhere before. And maybe just generic, I don't know. Kid Adventures, Sky Captain for the Wii. And, oh, this is out? Puzzle Quest 2 for the DS.
Ooh.
Oh. Okay.
Check the app store and see if it's on iPhone.
No, the iPhone version is coming later.
Okay.
And here's another quick mini rant. This is my worry now as an iPad owner going forward, that like all these iPhone games are going to come out and be like, oh, cool. Well, you know, I really want this. I think it'll look all right on my iPad, and I buy it. And then, like, a month later, they're like, okay, we're not going to release the iPad version, and you'll have to buy it again. If that shit happens a lot, I'm going to be very upset. Mm.
That said, I've seen quite a lot of people doing the universal app thing now. Like, I know Geometry Wars re-released
some people
it
do,
as,
but not everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, that's the show. Wow, we did it.
Well done.
Wow.
Deus Ex, what do you guys think about that game?
You know, I have to say, I actually haven't seen the trailer yet. I keep meaning to go back and see it.
The trailer came out like
yet.
A week before E3. That's why I was surprised. Everyone started talking about it like then, like it was amazing. I'm like, well, that looked great a week ago when I saw it.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's going to be good, I think. Although, again, we've seen no gameplay yet from that trailer anyway. So.
Yeah.
Good music, though.
Yeah, definitely. The trailer's enough to get me excited.
Mm-hmm. And it's not all Matrix-y. It's mixing in a few other sci-fi properties as well, so I'm okay with that. It looks a little updated well. So,
cool. All right. Wow. So we've come to the end of the Exploding Barrel podcast. So I'd like to thank all of you for listening and remind you that you could check us out at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com, the iTunes Music Store, and the Zune Marketplace. And you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Pete and Jeff are both news editors over at combo.com, combo with a K. So be sure to check out Combo for their musings and writings. And you guys nailed it out of the park for E3. Your coverage was awesome, and you weren't even there.
Yeah, thanks, so, man. We
kudos to you
it.
Guys.
We worked hard. We did.
And then Jeff and Derek are also two of the three co-hosts of the Pixel Revolt community podcast for bitmob.com, which is a bi-weekly show and is one of my favorites. So be sure to check them out at bitmob.com. And so, yeah, good job, everyone. Yay. I am never hosting the show again. It's actually kind of stressful. Mike, have fun while I'm in Canada. Next week, we'll be back. I think we'll just do just me and Mike next week because it'll be the last show I do before I'm gone. So we'll let him do his E3 piece and we'll have a classic Naughty Brothers show.
Hooray.
Then I'll be traipsing about for the next 3 to 4 weeks while Mike handles the show. I don't know who will be with him. I'll let him handle that. And it'll be fun. So until next time, thank you for listening to the Exploding Barrel podcast and we'll see you later. Bye.
Have fun in Canada.
Thank you. I almost had an impulse to say we are ghosts. I was like, no. No, I can't say that.
No.